So thank you, Alan, for that introduction, and good afternoon, everyone. I hope you're still awake after the lunch hour and not getting into that food coma yet. So I'll try to keep you awake while I'm going through my presentation. I'm a non-essential federal employee, so unfortunately I have no financial relationships to disclose, although I wish that was different. And I just want to acknowledge my co-authors here before we get started. Joan Michie, Madeline Laporta, Peyton Purcell, and Sophia, and Cindy Vincent, who helped a great deal with the evaluation of our pilot mentorship program. So for today, I'll discuss, I'll provide an overview of the translation gap, the research translation gap between research and practice, and what's needed. I'll also present the Research to Reality pilot mentorship program, mostly our approach and some of our pilot results. So we'll review the pilot evaluation results, and we'll discuss implications and conclusions from the program. So how many of you have seen this slide before? Or can have a guess what the 1714 means? Anyone? Well, 1714 is a summary of a research study that was conducted by Ballas and Boren, where they found out that it takes 17 years to get 14% of funded health research into practice. And that's way too long to be acceptable on any means. So the reason for this, you might be asking why so, and the reason for this is that historically we have research on one side, and we have practice on the other side, working in parallel, but not necessarily in collaboration. And we really need to build a bridge between research and practice to be able to move forward. So this is not a new concept. This is something that there's been numerous studies about, showing the need for better connection and collaboration between researchers and practitioners to improve the public's health. And certainly there has been some progress in this area, but just not enough. And so in today's world, in the age of virtual technology, online communities of practice are really an opportunity to connect and collaborate with one another, not only across the country, but beyond, to really address these challenges. And through communities of practice, we've been able to get a start to understand how to connect interventions and understand how they're being implemented, what are the contextual issues and factors that influence them, and how we can learn from one another. So that is in part what the Research to Reality, which is a virtual community of practice, and the pilot mentorship program is intended to do and what we're trying to accomplish. So the idea for this mentorship program is also not new. We developed it in 2010, but it really stems from the literature in terms of evidence-based medicine, and there's been quite a bit of work in the nursing field, but there's actually some nice evidence to suggest that mentoring around evidence-based approaches does lead to better health outcomes. And so we did a literature review to kind of understand how to put together this program. We also invited an external planning group to get more insights. And we did a series of key informant interviews to really help design the program. And so our mentorship model is really composed of three main components. First is the mentorship and the mentee project. Mentees work on a year-long work-related project. We also have training and support from NCI staff. And this idea of a online community of practice, so cancer control practitioners similar to the people who participate in the program. So our mentorship program included regular communication within and between the mentee pairs and the site visit from the mentor to the mentee's work site. In addition, the mentee planned and implemented an evidence-based work-related project with the support of the supervisor, and they worked through this throughout the course of the year. With the support of the mentors, the project had to be focused around an objective of the state comprehensive cancer control plan. So this is where it was rooted. And we also provided training and support through quarterly conference calls, webinars, and technical assistance on an ongoing basis. And the online community of practice included both the public-facing website as well as the private workspace to give mentees an opportunity to work within each other and really be able to learn from their experiences. So the goal of our program, because this is a pilot program, we wanted to be able to see if we can recruit qualified mentors and mentees and see if we can find the way to select and match six well-paired mentee-mentor pairs. We also provided ongoing technical assistance, which included training. Most of them were via webinars, although some were in person, to both the mentee and the mentor pairings to improve the skills around evidence-based public health. Evidence-based public health competencies are developed by Russ Brown and has been widely used both nationally and internationally. So those are the ones that we, competencies that we helped develop through this program. And we also wanted to build a community of practice among the mentee-mentor pairs, but also with the broader cancer control community through interactive web platforms. And so in 2011, we opened up a request for applications. We received about 50 applications, 48 were eligible. From there, we selected six mentees, and we paired them with mentors that had the unique skills and qualities for both the mentors, the mentees project, and also the competencies that they were interested in developing. And we held a kickoff meeting soon after in Bethesda. So the requirements for the mentees, in order to be considered for the program, you had to be working full-time with an organization that addresses cancer control and prevention issues. The mentee had to show a significant amount of engagement or enthusiasm to around evidence-based public health. And they had to at least have a master's level degree in public health or an equivalent training. And we wanted to see some experience working with community organizations. For the mentor, the bar was a little higher. They had to at least have a degree in public health with 5 or more years experience in applied cancer control prevention, as well as participation in behavioral social science research. And I'm not talking being a subject in a research trial, but I'm talking more being involved in developing the methods, addressing the implementation of evidence-based interventions, and so forth. And 2 or more years of experience applying practice in public health or clinical settings, and 2 or more years experience supervising staff or mentoring health professionals. So as you can see here, most of our applicants were females. Most of the applicants also had some kind of master's level degree. And we had a nice mix of academic, cancer centers, and government organizations represented in the application pool. And very similarly, that's ideally who we selected for the first pilot cohort. And so, here we go. And so just a show of hands, how many of you remember the reality show from MTV's Real World? Yes? A few? Okay. Okay, so this is exactly what we did. This is where we take, this is a true story of 6 strangers who were picked to live on a website to work together and share their stories, find out what happens when they stop being polite and start being real. And for a year, we follow their stories on the website. But it was the public-facing website that allowed them to interact with other cancer control practitioners that were also doing the same type of programs and also encountering the same challenges that you normally don't find in a manuscript or in reports. And this is what we offer to the larger cancer control community. So if you haven't gone to the website, I strongly encourage you to visit. There's some interesting gossip there. I won't mention any names of who was more gossipy than other, but it's very interesting and very useful information. In terms of deliverable, we had we asked that the mentees develop a work plan around their projects We have a description of the evidence-based public health competencies that they wanted to develop. They also had to post monthly stories. Each mentee had to post public facing stories around their work and their experiences. They also had to present their own cyber seminar to the larger community around their work. And they had to deliver any tangible products, whether it's pamphlets, implementation guides, work plans, evaluation plans. They had to deliver that to us so that we can review. And they had to present a local presentation about their project to their local organization or community stakeholders, and a presentation to us as pairs, mentee-mentor pairs to NCI. And they also had to submit an abstract either to a peer-reviewed journal or to a national conference about their experience. So how do we measure success? That's kind of the million-dollar question that everybody wants to know. So because it's a small N, because we only had six participants in here, most of our information was qualitative. Most of our data was qualitative. And so what we did is that we reviewed our quarterly reports and training evaluation surveys from the trainings we provided. We did a pre and post program competencies assessment. And we conducted interviews with the mentees, the mentors, the mentee supervisors, NCI program staff. And we also did a content analysis of their stories as well as their deliverables. And so what we found was that the program was really well implemented in terms of what we said we were going to do. I was followed really closely. And the main reason for that is that we had a strong administrative support within our program staff that really helped to focus the participants' efforts into evidence-based public health. But we also allowed for enough flexibility to regarding timelines and deliverables to really be able to address those kind of complex real-world issues, such as budget cuts or staff changes that several of the mentees had to deal with. And we also found that mentors' assistance varied throughout the different pairs to really accommodate for the needs of the mentees in terms of competencies, in terms of life-work balance, and really the stage of implementation of their projects. All the mentors visited the mentees' work site, and they gave them a real understanding about the context in which they're working with. And the other part was that the main means of communication was via email or telephone, although we all gave them webcams, but none of them used them. We also found that all the program components were well received, with the exception of the website. I think we had anticipated a little bit more engagement from the larger community of practice, and most of the engagement was between the mentees and the mentors themselves. Mentees really value their relationship within the entire cohort, as well as the trainings and the projects they were working on throughout the year. For the mentors, it was a little bit different. They really valued the engagement and the interaction between the entire cohorts, both the mentees and the mentors. And the mentors comes from cancer centers, from different institutions, as well as from public health. So the mentees gained, what they gained from this experience is they really were able to expand on their skills around evidence-based competencies, as well as their confidence and ability to be able to do evidence-based public health practice. They developed a new network of colleagues, and they also learned how to negotiate these real-life situations in terms of the context to conduct evidence-based public health. And surprisingly, they developed the writing skills, which they wasn't part of the program, but through the stories, they felt that they also developed their writing skills. And I'm glad to report that every single one of them submitted a peer-reviewed journal to an article to a peer-reviewed journal, and so far, about half of them have been accepted. So you'll get to learn more about the stories later on when it's published. In terms of competency improvements, we saw improvements across the board in every area, with the main areas, the main changes in assessment, program planning, and partnerships and collaboration. And so what are the implications of a pilot mentorship program? I mean, you can't really draw a lot of conclusions for from a handful of mentee mentors, but what we can gather is that mentoring is a promising approach to really integrate evidence-based interventions into practice by improving the evidence-based public health competencies of these practitioners. And we also learned that context matters, that creating the space where one can share the contextual implications, both the facilitators as well as the barriers, really assists with translating research into practice. And being able to navigate those complexities is really what's important here. And it's within this collaborative space that we truly are able to maximize our effort. So just to finish up, working within a community of practice framework is not just a nice thing to do. It's something that we as public health practitioners should be doing more of. So with that, I encourage you to come visit our Research to Reality website and share some of your experiences and engage with other cancer control practitioners or public health practitioners. And with that, I think we have time for some questions. Sure. The lady mentioned that she's confused a little bit in terms of health outcomes and what we were able to achieve with that. To be honest with you, we didn't focus on health outcomes for this particular mentorship program. We wanted to be able to know whether or not it was feasible to implement such a program. Many of the projects that the mentees worked on were around objectives that included health outcomes. And for the most part, we saw some short-term outcomes on several of the projects. I have to dig up the exact results. But because it took about 6 months to plan and develop an implementation plan, and then just do the pilot stuff of implementing projects, not all of them have data to present changes in health outcomes. I would encourage you to follow Preventing Chronic Disease because their stories are going to be published there, and some of them do have health outcomes to report, mostly around colorectal cancer screening because two of them were actually grantees of the CDC Colorectal Cancer Screening Demonstration Program, which are tied to health outcomes. Yeah, that's a good question. So in terms of cost, so one thing to keep in mind is that this is kind of a sub-project within a project. So the larger project is this online community of practice that we built way before the mentorship program. But the mentorship program, really all it takes is the travel funds to be able to travel twice a year, all the mentees and the mentors, and then about 1.5 FTE. So depending on which organization you're talking about, that's how much it would cost you. For us, I would roughly say less than $80,000. So the question is, do I have any plans to transition mentees into mentor roles? And ideally, that's what I would love to do. I actually ran a program in Washington State that we did just that. We're still kind of in a bit of transition to see exactly what we're doing next because it's the pilot. Because we have a National Cancer Institute is more interested in the research part. We have to kind of first figure out if it works. And so we're still trying to figure out what the next steps are, but we're open to collaborating with other partners to kind of scale this up and see if some of these mentees can, in fact, be mentors. I absolutely think they can do it. Michael's contact information is here. Okay. Thank you.